Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
I want to pick up on this with the one and only Brenda Dennehy, because she recently had a lovely experience, and this is a woman who would not be shy to pipe up, I can tell you. Brenda, good morning.
Morning, Neil. How you doing?
I'm good. So the art of conversation, it's certainly on the wane, though, isn't it, amongst strangers?
It is, Neil. And do you know what? I think Gen Z, they get an awful hard time of it. Some of them are very friendly and are mad to talk. I just think a certain amount of them as well, they're just a bit more shyer. But I definitely feel that people's heads are down more and they're on the phone. And look, I'm prone to having my AirPods in quite a lot. But I had a most gorgeous experience yesterday. Just started off by asking two lovely ladies, I'm at Moore train station as I was making my way to Dublin, way off to girls, and they were probably in their 70s. And may I add, they loved me calling them girls, like the way you call all people on the air, girl, and the boys and everything. So they loved that. So I was kind of like, way off to girls, because I was in the waiting room for a while, and they were like, we're going to the bingo. And I was like, what bingo?
The bingo.
They proceed. The bingo, no, Neil, this is 7:30 yesterday morning. So I was like, where's bingo on at this hour of the morning? And because I love a bit of bingo as well. I've been up to the parochial hall and Neptune doing the bingo, and I absolutely love it. So, of course, I was like, if I wasn't going up to Dublin with a busy day, like, I was mad to go with them. But they were saying, oh, there's like a big, massive bingo event in Mayo. And I was like, yeah.
What?
And they're like, yeah. Yeah, there's a big, massive bingo event up in Mayo. It goes on for a couple of days. I know, I never heard of it before either. And I was like, is it like bingo convention, like nearly an AA convention? And they were like, yeah, it's on for days. And I couldn't get enough of it. And like, I think I was kind of like, oh my God, I was hoping to go there maybe today. And then I got on the train with them then, because I helped them with their bags. And then I was kind of putting in their bags for them. And then I walked down with them. And then their friends were after coming from Killarney and they were waiting for them. And I was like, are you all going to the bingo too? Neil, the excitement out of them, it was stunning. And then they were like, oh, we've more friends to meet now in Mallow, and we're going all the way up to Dublin, and we're getting off there, and then we're all going to Mayo together. But it was just the delight and excitement they had, and it was just beautiful. And if I didn't ask them simple question, where are you after, girls? I wouldn't have known that, and it made my day. And they absolutely loved me chatting to them.
So they go all the way to Mayo, we'll stay for a few days, book into a hotel or a B&B, and go to bingo. It's like, yeah, like Las Vegas in Mayo kind of thing.
Is it? Yeah, the bingo Las Vegas up in, I think it was,
So if you got on a bus then, say for instance, an air coach from Cork to Dublin, would you talk or would you try and read the signs to the person next to you on the bus?
I would. Do you know what I did now yesterday? I actually was coming down in the train again and I was sitting with a woman and she was trying to give a jacket to her daughter who was down the carriage a bit, but I was on the outside. And I actually said, do you want me to get that, to take that down to your daughter? Tell me what she's wearing. I came back up and we started chatting then. So if I didn't make that interaction, we wouldn't have spoken.
Well, what did you talk about? Was it the weather or the price of petrol or what?
No, so what we were speaking about was, we started off with, okay, I was like, where are you from? Where's your accent from? She told me she was Waterford. I told her where I was from. And then I found out that she said she broke up from her husband. And then before I knew it, I was knew her personal business. She was telling me all about her life now and stuff like that. And then she followed me on Instagram. I followed her back. And
Did she open up to you because of the comeback series that you do? Was she aware that you were a safe space to discuss her private life, do you think? I mean,
she actually didn't know me, but when I was editing my podcast on the train come down, a girl did come up and say, oh, I love your podcast, listen to your podcast. So then she kind of asked, what did I do? But she'd opened up to me before that.
But why would somebody say the thing, the real personal aspects of her life, breakup of a marriage and other things you say, to a complete stranger? Is it that there's a safe vibe or what?
Well, Neil, if you think about it this way as well, people are ringing up you about the most kind of emotive and the biggest hardships of their life, and they're speaking to thousands of people in Cork. I suppose I would see isn't they trust you, and maybe I give off an effect that I'm a good listener and I would be empathetic. And to be honest with you, I'd end up telling someone as well, like, stuff about myself, you know. So I told her about my own history and stuff then as well. And we were laughing and joking, and she was a lovely lady, and she made my trip down.
Yeah, because I was reading the Guardian article, and they were trying to give examples of how things change. Like, the pandemic had a lot to do with it. They say that the younger generation, because they were holed up for 2.5 years or whatever, masks on, and certainly in retail, they never really developed the skills of conversation or small talk, you know. So they talk about that. You go into takeaways now, it could be a McDonald's or whatever, it's all touchscreens now, right? Isn't it? Even at tables in restaurants, it can be touchscreens, or you're just swiping with your card and it's done really quickly. So it's much more difficult now to have conversations.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. And I was back in Kerry, in Pat Falvey, you know, Pat Falvey the Explorer.
Yeah.
And there was a young chap, and he was early 20s from Watergrass Hill. Never met him, but he wants to climb Everest in the next couple of years. And honest to God, he was chattier than myself. He was the chattiest young fella, and he restored my faith in Gen Z. He did, and many others like him.
They get a rough ride. They do. I appreciate that. Yeah, paper-wise, they do.
They do. But regarding that article, I must say, I'll be honest with you, Neil. Would you want someone now following you out after doing the show for lunch? I don't think you would you?
How do you mean?
Well, you said, you know, the way you come off air there at 12,
yeah,
and you were like, would you not prefer, honestly, now to go for lunch on your own?
I would.
Yeah, so would I. So the article, I don't think is... I think the article, when I read it first, the one in The Guardian, it was kind of like, oh, there's something wrong with it. I think we'd all prefer...
Oh, I see the point you're making. It's not just a Gen Z thing. There are a lot of us would prefer to... I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. I love socialising, but I have no issue in the whole wide earthly world going to a pub on my own or having lunch on my own or going out for a spot. None.
Yeah, and I think as well, it was like, oh God, they're even going for lunch on their own now as well. I know well, even when I was working in Red FM or even recently in London, if I saw anyone coming after me, I'd be like, come here, where are you going? Oh, no, this is Brenda time.
Yeah.
Out of the question.
Yeah. So maybe these kind of stories, they don't help that generation then, because it just makes them more, perhaps fed up of life. It's bad enough and tough enough for them without people being down on them, you know, saying that they don't communicate, they can't talk, they don't mix, they have no friends. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I think they get a really rough ride of it. I really think they do, because I've had fabulous experiences with people in their late teens, early 20s recently. And I genuinely have, really talkative and everything. And I know you're saying about COVID, you know, but look, at the same time, everyone had a bit of a difficult time during COVID. So then I think when that excuse is made, you know, everyone had, you know, their own, you know, issues or their own issues, you know, so.
Although I have a buddy in retail, it's Eddie the Tile, actually, you know him quite well. He's out of the Cork Tile Store. He's like 40, 50 years in retail. And he's been, you know, talking to me a lot about how retail has changed down through the years. And he said somebody should really set up a business. Perhaps it might be something you might think of doing, teaching the etiquette and the way to work in retail and how to communicate with customers, who are king. Because he said that it's taken a huge dive down through the years, you know? And he says there's a business in it for somebody to set up a business to teach people how to be really good in retail, whatever that may be, you know?
Yeah, just giving them their time. But I think it's all about the experience going into a shop, because I know if I went in and someone wasn't helpful, I wouldn't go back there again compared to somewhere if they were helpful. Or do you know what as well? You know, when you go into a shop and if you're looking for something and they don't have it, but they recommend somewhere else, I think that's amazing. I'll always go back to that shop then. So like, do you know what? They helped me. They recommended somewhere else and they went out of their way to help me, even though if they didn't have the product. Stuff like that is what you remember, Neil.
Yeah. Well, I think anybody in retail, if you don't have what the people want, try and sell them something else.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than not, don't have it. Sorry, no, not available. You know, this kind of straight away negative attitude. Nah, I won't go in there again. I'm like, I'm not dealing with her again anyway. Forget it.
Yeah. So do you have any experience then of people who just don't want to talk or shut down? Or can you tell that in advance?
Oh, yeah, I had that recently as well, like where I tried to talk to someone and they were just like not having none of me. And I was like, all right, so you just kind of walk away mortified, you know? Even at a bus stop or something like that, I've tried to talk, you know, if I'm kind of like, I don't want to be the head down on the phone all the time. But you just don't know. Oh, actually, there was a man on a train going, changing the Cork train. You swear, no, I'm living on the train with this carry-on. But I actually was trying to sit into the Cork Mallow train, the commuter train.
Yeah.
And there was a fella, and I actually just said, do you mind if I go in there on the inside? I'd say he was just so allergic to me. I'd say he was like, oh, no. I'm absolutely disgusted.
He sat out there so nobody would want to go in the inside.
He did. And in fairness, now the odd time, I'll put the head down if someone's coming just for the crack, like, will they sit in at me or not? But look, you get chatting to them, but your man, he was allergic. He was sickened when he saw me. No, and I'd say it like, and he was, do you know what? He actually loved the aftershave on, so I was kind of sitting
in. Give me an idea of the age group here. I don't want to be down on Gen Z, but
what is... Oh, no, he was around 40.
Right.
I'd say he was going to work in Cork. I'd say he was working down in Salt Mall or something, but he was allergic. he was sickened. I was like, oh, he's allergic to me now, this lad. No time for me. Wants me gone.
Yeah, some people sit in the outside, so nobody will sit inside. Yeah. Others put a bag up. Others put their feet up.
Yeah.
That's kind of code for stay the feck away from me. I don't want to know.
It is, yeah. Come here. I was sitting down and that was it. I'd go up on his lap if he didn't push in, you know? So there was no getting out of it. I was sitting down.
I'd say tickets would be sold out for St. Luke's. They'll be sitting on each other's laps. When is it? The 21st of March?
So, Neil, yeah, it's next Saturday night, my second live show for the Comeback podcast. And I'm delighted. I have a great guest now, in fairness. I've got Dr. Brian Pinney. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
But he's a fantastic man altogether, Neil. He is a former heroin addict and now he's a neuroscientist. Fascinating man. He actually has his own series on RT Hooked. To be honest with you, I asked him to do it and I thought he'd tell me where to go.
Yeah.
But he's doing it and I'm still kind of believe it. I'm like, does he know what he's doing? Like, does he think I'm someone else? Does
no, he would have checked you out first. Absolutely.
Like,
it's a privilege.
You know what? People are very good, I suppose. So, and then I have Mickey Hayes, who was on your show.
Yeah.
The wonderful Mickey Hayes.
Yeah.
And then there's Mikey Power, who was also on your
show. That's right.
Mikey Power. And then I have a lovely lady, Kim Nolan, and my good friend Alan Clark is the MC, and we'll have a bit of crack as well. So yeah, it's next Saturday night, and I'm so looking forward.
Well, if you go to St. Luke's next Saturday night, there'll be nobody there. You need to go Saturday week.
I said next Saturday night. No, that's the Bally Desmond and me. No, that's next Saturday week. And you know what? It's going to be lovely. My 7 year sober birthday is next Thursday. So it's 2 days after I hit 7 years sober, all going well, that I don't go on the lash now the next
you
week.
You won't. I'm delighted for you and I'm very proud of you.
Thanks, I really and truly am.
Okay, so the Comeback with Brendan Dennehy live, lads. Saturday week, the 21st of March, live at St. Luke's. What a beautiful Yeah, what a beautiful place to have an event in a gig like this.
Gorgeous.
So are tickets Eventbrite, I guess, or whatever?
Eventbrite, yeah. There's not an awful lot left, but if you go on there now, there should be a couple available. So I'm delighted with how it's going and everything.
Okay.
Very, very grateful. And thank you, Neil, for everything as well. I'll always say thanks. Never forget who helps you on your way up.
We should always be grateful to those that help, me
for
included.
Sure.
Mind yourself, Brenda. Yeah. Great to catch up.
Neil.
God bless.
Bye.
Take care. The Comeback
bye.
With Brendan Dennehy is live at St. Luke's on Saturday week, March 21st. Doors at 8 p.m. Tickets at Eventbrite. It's fabulous because it's just unfiltered stories of people who, without wanting to colour and sugarcoat it, hit rock bottom, but found a way back from all sorts of different issues in their life. And it's very uplifting. All right, and it's great for people as well to be able to share their own life stories because they too will feel energised by sharing. So that's Saturday week. If tickets are available on Eventbrite, €28 each. Text 0868 104 106. We're back after 11.